Hi, everybody. Kurt Schlichter here for Unredacted Town Hall VIP Podcast, which I am recording heading up the 405 freeway from Camp Pendleton. I just spent the day as part of the press pool covering J.D. Vance, Vice President, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, and a bunch of other dignitaries. Went out to Camp Pendleton to watch a combat demonstration, which is pretty amazing. And then give a speech to the troops. And I thought I'd talk to you a little about some of that stuff. I'm going to write about it in a different form, so don't think that I'm like, oh, no, he's also writing about it. This is the same thing. I've heard it twice. Nah, this is a little different. I want to tell you how a press pool works, because I've never been on one. I got a call from somebody at the vice president's office and said, hey, Kurt, you want to come out? You want to cover this thing? And you can be part of the press pool. You ride in a helicopter and do all the Earth stuff. I said, sure, I'll see how that goes, because I've never done that before. I am, I don't want to be called a journalist, because that's like being called a pedophile, except worse. You know, I do write a column. So I decided, okay, well, I'm, you know, part of town hall. I will go and I will do what I can. And I will just see how this thing happens, see if I find any news. Well, I didn't find a lot of news, but I found the, you'll read my column and that'll have some conclusions about it. But let me tell you how it went. They have an advance team that comes out. And this thing has been planned for months. The military was planning the operation for 2 or 3 months. The advance team from the vice president's office came out 8 days ago, because it is like, it is like a symphony. There are a Rube Goldberg machine. Remember him, Rube Goldberg? Thousands of moving parts to get this done. It is down to the gnat's ass, so to speak. You know, the reporters, they have what's called a pool, which is, you don't want to have 100 people, but you got to have somebody because, you know, the vice president may make some news. And I'm not sure he made any news. Maybe they'll give him grief. He did call it the Democrat shutdown when he finally spoke to the troops. But, and he told a joke that used the S word in it to the assembled Marines. But anyway, we got together, at a hotel, got in a couple of, vans, and, we were, off we went. And we went up to a rally point on Camp Pendleton, which is a giant Marine base north of San Diego off Interstate 5. It's enormous. I used to take my cavalry squadron there to train, and I never got close to all of it because it's just so damn big. We go up there, and immediately they pull us out of the thing and pull us out of the vans, have to put our stuff away, and they go search through all our stuff. And then they wand us. I thought I was going into a rap concert. It was very tight security. And there were people everywhere. There were Secret Service. There were California Highway Patrol. There were Marines. There were other cops. It was, I mean, everywhere you look, there's somebody with a gun. I'm like the only guy without a gun. I'm feeling very naked. So we go and start back into our vans after a while. The highlight was, is you better pee because you're not going to have a chance to for 4 hours. Okay, that was the only planning problem that I encountered. You know, you got to let the reporters pee. All right, peeing is important. Fortunately, I had not been drinking very much lately, so I survived this nightmare, but let's just say I'm still showing evidence of dehydration. So anyway, we get into the motorcade. I'm in the motorcade with the Vice President of the United States Secretary of Defense. That's pretty amazing. And, you know, there's Secret Service all over the place. And they're all like 30 years younger than me. Everybody's younger than me, which kind of freaked me out. Everybody. And of course, we have guys from the vice president's office in the vehicle with us to answer questions and stuff. And they got there a couple days earlier to plan everything. And everything's like planned down to the minute. At 3 o'clock, the vice president will be at X place. Anyway, so we get in on a motorcade. And it's cool being in a motorcade, although we would go by little Marines and they would be saluting us. And I'm just like, you don't have to salute the press. You do not need to salute the reporters. So that would be, that was a thing. But anyway, we go and we drive out of the base and onto an empty freeway. They shut down the entire 5 freeway so that we could drive on. Later, they would shut down because they fired artillery over it. Actually, it's Gavin Newsom that shut it down. They really didn't have to shut it down because it's not like artillery is going to drop where you don't aim it. Okay? But anyway, we drive, and if you know northern San Diego, which is, I went to school in San Diego, so I've been through there a million times. It's right, the freeway runs right across, right by the ocean. There's a little bit of land to your west for the Marine Corps, and that's where we went. We went to a beach to watch an amphibious exercise. Now, out in the ocean are a bunch of ships. There's destroyers and landing ships, and the USS Teddy Roosevelt. There's an aircraft carrier out there. There's like $30 billion, probably more if you throw in the cost of the air wings, of aircraft out there. It was quite a thing. So they're out there, and we go to the edge of a cliff, and J.D. Vance gets walked over onto a kind of a big viewing stand, and we're behind him, so we have a shot of him, and we're on the top, we're sitting in the bed of a 7-ton truck, so we can take photos of all this stuff. And it is, they did a lot of stuff. First the SEALs come in, then various landing craft, then the hovercraft come in, and then the Ospreys and the helicopters come in, and then they're firing cannons, and then the planes start going by, and you got F-15s and you got F-35s, and the F-35, That's a pretty substantial aircraft, okay? An F-35 is a big deal, and it is it's up there, you know, just roaring along. And it's a bunch of them, and they've got a whole bunch of these guys on the ground. So there are pilots who didn't get to fly. Their job was to actually go be with J.D. Vance and answer his questions. So he's got this series of SEALs and pilots and things coming up and hanging out with him. He's being very cool. He's with his wife, Usha. And he's really enjoying it because he was a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps, which is an E4. So he's like, or maybe it was an E3. So he's super, super excited about how this is going. And, you know, there's a 1-star general, there's a 3-star general, there's general's aides. I've got all these public affairs officers, and I'm talking smack with them because, you know, I'm a retired colonel, so I kind of, like, knew what was going on. And, you know, I'm explaining things to the reporters. I'm like, no, that's a F-35. That's a fighter aircraft. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, and the reporters were not obnoxious. This was not, like, network news people. This was the pool. They're just there in case something happens. And they were all very cool. Everybody's very nice. We all got along, and it was, you know, beautiful, and there was hugging and stuff. But anyway, okay, so we watch these guys, and there's stuff blowing up near us, and Marines are attacking things. And one of the things about these giant dog and pony shows, the regular Marines are like, you know, just let me out of this. A lot of them, you know, they had to take over this, like, little fake village. And they all go inside the buildings and promptly sit down and start chilling. Because no one can see them because they're in the buildings. So they're not being hassled. And I'm just, like, laughing. Because that is the most soldier thing I ever saw. All right, we've taken the building. Okay, everybody, let's just rack out. Wait till all the brass goes away. So we see that. We see that demonstration. It's very cool. Very exciting. I thought it was very well done. A lot of planning went into it. I'm sitting there talking to the PAO colonels about the planning of the operation, because that was, like, more interesting to me, because I've seen, you know, stuff fly. Next is, okay, over to the landing zone. So we head over to the landing zone. We're going to take a helicopter to the next stop. Cool. I'll get on the helicopter. I get on the helicopter the entire... First of all, they got nameplates on all the seats, including mine. Kurt Schlichter. Town Hall. Okay, that's really nice. I'm right near, wait, the whole Hegseth family. There's like 6 Hegseths Pete shows up, his wife shows up, he's got four kids with him. They're having fun on the helicopter, and it's so loud. I actually forgot to bring earplugs, so I stuck my iPods in, so I wouldn't be deaf. Anyway, the kids are having a great time. They're just laughing and everything, and, you know, woohoo, we're on a helicopter. And I'm trying to take pictures, and sadly, I didn't get a chance to talk to Pete Hegseth. I've never met him. I don't know if he knows who I am. I've written enough articles about him. Anyway, whatever. We do our thing. And we're in this helicopter. And I have not been in a helicopter since I got out of the Army. And I don't like helicopters. Because I'm not in control. I'm not flying them. And when they crash, it's very rare that you walk away. And I prefer not to be at great heights, out of my own control, relying on the government's low bidder's equipment. It's just, I would rather not. So we're on this helicopter. It was only like a 5-minute flight, seemed like about 2 hours. So we're flying, and we land, and back into vehicles. We're off to the next thing. Here's a speech. And there's like 15,000 Marines and a lot of families there. And there are a couple things about the Marines. So first thing is, they're so freaking young! They're so freaking young! It's unbelievable! The second thing is, they're so damn thin. I mean, they don't let... The whole fat body military thing did not get... That didn't happen in the Marine Corps. They were sleek Marines, and very young, and they all looked, the thing about Marines that people don't know, most of them are very short. Not Jesse Kelly. At 6'5", he was like probably the biggest Marine there's ever been. But most Marines are like little short guys, and they're just like wiry and tough. And, there was a lot of that. Marines typically have a lot of junior enlisted. They don't have a lot of officers. Now, as I went up in rank, I spent more time around headquarters. So if you throw a dead cat, you're going to hit a major. And I did throw dead cats at majors. And I'm not ashamed of it. But, if here it was primarily young troops and a few Navy, because the Navy supplies corpsmen and some other things. There were some Navy people, too. And they have kind of a green, more green camouflage uniform. I don't know why, but they do. And the Marines, of course, have their regular Marine camouflage uniform, kind of brownish. And they were, there were a lot of Marines there. And they're out in the sun. And there's a lot of speeches. And they're, I think that, their veterinarian's cousin's dentist came up and did a speech. Too many speeches. Okay, that's just my thing. I know first of all, if you're going to talk to troops, have like two guys talk to them, and they can talk for 5 minutes. Here they had like 6 or 7, I don't know how many, and they talked like 10 or 15. And it just went on a little long. And a lot of it was, you Marines are great. You got to understand about Marines. Marines buy into the whole Marine thing. And I'm not dissing Marines. I like Marines. When I needed a first sergeant for my company, one of my companies, because I was the company commander twice, I found a guy who prior service Marine Corps and then went into the Army. And I had the best company, I think, it was California Guard, so we had 133 companies. I was number one. And a lot of that was First Sergeant Petrie. Because, he was a Marine. He just didn't, take guff. And the Marine thing is, we're the best. We can't be beaten. Screw you. There's nobody better. You're not good enough. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, you guys are good. There's like 12 of you. There's just not that many Marines. There's a lot of Army. The Army's different. It's a more Democrat, and I mean in kind of the democracy kind of way. We don't consider ourselves elitist the same way, or at least didn't used to. Now, everybody's elite, but it was more like the people's force. when you had people, okay, America, we need to go to war. Okay, we'll join the army. The Marines were always kind of a centurion class, you know? So there's kind of a vibe different. But the army's just so much bigger, and it has so much more stuff. I mean, the Marines have some cool stuff, but the army's like a giant sledgehammer. And the way it wins is just by being so big and having so much stuff. And it moves so much stuff that it just crushes anybody that's bad. And the Marine story is we're tenacious, clever, hard fighters. And the Army is we're smart fighters. We're going to smash you to bits. I remember when I was in the Gulf War, I was at the headquarters of 7 Corps. Everything was moving so fast, I never moved forward. So I remember one radio call where our general stopped an American cavalry regiment that was going to close in and fight with tanks and said, nope, we're going to hit them with artillery and air power and blow them the hell that way because it's about crushing them. So the Army is kind of the force of crushing, just smothering and just destroying and smashing through sheer bulk the enemy, while the Marine Corps is more finessed. A lot of different attitudes. But boy, were they doing oh my gosh, they were kissing such Marine butt. It's like, yes, they're fine, but oh my gosh. And just going on and on, and J.D. Vance jumped in on that, and he was going on and on. And they seemed to welcome him pretty warmly. I don't think they went crazy over him. But they were certainly, I mean, they stood on their feet for him the whole time. They got up out of their seats and, you know, and there was some cheering and some hoo-hawing and some other stuff. I think they get a kick out of having a guy who is junior enlisted, and he's now the vice president. And that's just kind of cool to them. They're just kind of like, that's really interesting. So he did that, and he spoke. And then we waited till their motorcade left, and then we went back to our hotel. And that was a long day. Especially without access to a bathroom. But, I thought it was a good experience. I thought it was interesting. It was very well organized. You know, there were, everything moved. When you've got these kind of level of dignitaries and you've got, you know, the vice president and the secretary of war, everything's got to move like clockwork. And it did. You know, J.D. Vance ran maybe 5 minutes over time, but people were hitting their marks. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the guy who had to go to the vice president and go, hey, sir, we're screwed up. We're slow. We're run behind. Yeah, I don't think that would be good. I just think that would be poor. That would be a very poor thing to do. So anyway, that is my story of my afternoon with J.D. Vance. I never got to talk to him because I was, you know, just kind of there in the press. But it was interesting because the press was very laid back. They were, you know, okay, well, stuff will happen when it happens. Are we leaving? Okay. Hey, everybody, get in the vans. Let's go. And they were just chill. Because I guess because they do this all the time. And they realize, you know, and they're really there in case something horrible happens. Or in case he somehow makes news. And I don't know if they made news. I don't think I'm guessing he didn't. I'm guessing, I do think it's good counter programming over the, no kings. You know, who would you rather spend your day with? A bunch of hardcore, young Marines who just want to kick ass, or a bunch of crusty, boomers and, Gen Z scumbag Pierce boys? Transvestites and all sorts of other perverts, but enough about George Conway. I mean, who would you want to be? I think it was a great contrast, you know? Our guys out there, all patriotic, and these people, no kings! All right, okay, no kings. What? Yeah, I agree with you, no kings. No kings. All right, that's fine. No kings. Oh, yay! freaking weirdos. I hate all these people. Anyway, that's enough of my yakking. Thanks for listening in to my town hall column for today. I'm available for you at Twitter, at Kurt Schlichter. Go up there. I'm about to hit 600,000. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday are when my columns are. I'm doing, I, of course, do Unredacted, but I also do the Stream of Consciousness. You may see more of that in the future. We're big things are ahoy, as we say here in at Town Hall. So thank you for being VIP members. Go out and check out the books, American Apocalypse, Los Angeles, Kelly Turnbull books. I got to write a Kelly Turnbull book in about a month, so I'm pretty excited about that. So, anyway, I'm sure we'll be talking much more in the very near future. Thanks. Adios. Bye.